Blog Talk Radio.
To the endless flow of godliness into the world. Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings to those who are alive, because when things stay alive, continue the Torah Chaim, in terms of life, Torah Chesed, in terms of kindness, Torah Rachim, mercies. You now turn into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert that we are the higher inner frequency. This is Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 810, Meditation, part of the foundation of Torah, part 4. Baruch Hashem blesses our Creator. Shalom, peace, and Baruch, a blessing upon the entire human family condition. The Creator's help right now. We're going live. It's now, actually, March 10th at 11:02 Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. equals A USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. The program will focus on what many people consider a spiritual experience, namely meditation. From a Torah perspective, in general, and more specifically, from a Chabad Chassid's cognitive meditation perspective, it's a catalyst for generating more love and fear of the Creator. We plan to share teachings from the Mittler Rebbe, the second Chabad Rebbe, who lived from 1774 to 1827, from the Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. If you want to make the program a little more organic, call 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688 to listen live or even participate. Meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your family peacefully and pleasantly. And the... The, what do you call it? The plugs for today's program are Universal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Children of Israel, collaborating with the children of Noah to remove from this world hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed. Panimius HaTorah, the interdimensional Torah, Shaar Yichud, the Gate of Unity, meditation from a Torah perspective, and of course, the prophecies of old will now be revealed to be worth more than anything that's considered to be silver and gold. You're listening to Life, a song by Ari Lesser. We're going to turn it on and get on with the show. Okay, blessed souls, here we go. Now, as usual, I'd like to turn to the next segment of today's program to talk about the world population clock or meter, which you can access. Go to worldometers.info/world population. Now, right now, according to this kinetic counter of human population, we're almost at 8,100,000,000. Today, almost 70,000 people, as I'm speaking, have passed on to the next level of life, but yet still more than two point something have been born today. So again, the ratio of 2 to 1, a constancy in the creation. That so far 14 million people have been revealed upon this world. And with that being said, this is not something that the social engineers can even touch. India remains the largest populous country with 1.437 billion people, followed by China, 1.425. America falls at 341 million. If we were to go back to 1950, we see that China had 543 million. China had 543 million, almost 44 million. India had 357 million. America had almost 149 million, followed by Russia. And the list goes on. It diminishes. But the point is, we see that there's been a tremendous growth in the human population. Certain problems remain with the human population, and certain solutions have been revealed in this generation and the previous generation. Now, the integrated and internalized that we should be most gracious to each other, most grateful to the Creator that He's given all these opportunities in life. I'd like to start off before we get into the main part of today's program by sharing your teaching from a seminar work called Hayom Yom, meaning, you know, today is the day. And it's basically, these are very small snippets of teachings of Torah that were gleaned by the Lubavitcher Rebbe of this generation under the guidance of his father, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And it goes like this. And by the way, before we even start, I want to dedicate today's program to the elevation of the souls of Amin Ben Galina, an Israeli soldier who was killed on October 7th, Esther Bas Yair, who passed away on first Rosh Chodesh of Adar. There are actually two Rosh Chodeshim this year. It's a leap year in the Jewish lunar calendar year. She passed away on Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. We're now in Rosh Chodesh Sheni. Of Adar Sheni, I should say, and also for Yeled Rach, Ben Yamin Zacharia, Ben Alexander Zalman, of blessed memory. So, in the traditions of our Jewish people, from the Hasidic perspective, there have been commonly two responses to the traditional toast of L'chaim, which means to life. I think in England you say cheers, I think in Russia you say nastrovia, maybe in Poland, whatever it may be, to life. However, there are nuances in two forms of saying l'chaim, to life. One is when we say l'chaim tov m'l'shalom, for a good life and for peace. And the way it's explained is that when the Torah first mentioned the drinking of wine, it is a verse in Bereishis chapter 9, verse 20, when Noah drank and became intoxicated. And from an oral Torah tradition as well, wine was also an issue with the tree of knowledge, which was the subject of the mistake made by original man, Adam, Arishon, Adam, a grapevine. Therefore, when a person drinks wine, we bless the person that this wine should lead to a good life. And I know in many different cultures and even faiths, wine is part of sacramental services. We don't use wine in a sacramental way because we don't have a temple right now with Beis HaMikdash. But for those of you who drink wine, I would suggest, and there's no obligation, whether you're a member of Israel or one of the children of Noah, which is all the nations of the world, when you're drinking wine, bring out a toast for a good life and for peace. Now, there's a second way of responding when one is in the presence of wine, or say even grape juice. The truth of the matter is, it can be orange juice, it can be grapefruit juice, it can be anything that one person wants to express their appreciation for life. And the second way of saying this appreciation for life is l'chaim v'lebracha. For life and for a blessing. So one time that the first Chabad Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, said the Chaim al-Racha, the Hasidim afterwards, after that gathering, the Hasidic gathering called the Verbringen, discussed what they heard, which was for the first time. One of the Hasidim mentioned, as according to a Talmudic tractate in Erevin, page 65, side A, when wine enters, secrets emerge. Which in terms of one's self-refinement and laboring in that process signifies the elevation of one's spiritual emotions, hopefully in a fanciful and ungrammatical way. One stands in need of a blessing, and that this endeavor should succeed. And furthermore, that chosid continued, the word for bracha, or blessing, is for life and for blessing, l'chaim and l'racha, because in the holy tongue, Lashon HaKodesh, some people call it Hebrew, the word livracha shares the same words as lev racha, meaning a heart that's soft, a heart that's sensitive, that's empathetic to others. That when chassidim, even people who are not chassidim, when they get together and they have a drink, they should be wishing a life and a heart that is sensitive and responsive to spiritual stimuli, awareness, and hopefully as well, being connected to helping another human being, whoever he or she may be. Now, the Tzemek Tzedek, the third Rebbe, who was the grandson of the altar Rebbe, who revealed this idea of saying L'chaim L'bracha, for a bracha and for a blessing, commented on such a chassid who mentioned that in the word Livracha, you can break it down into two other words, Levracha, a soft heart, a sensitive heart. This could only come from someone who had prayed in the Hasidic manner and toiled in his service for 30 years. Now, let me explain to the significance of what the Tzemek Tzedek just said, blessed souls, that three times a day we pray, and there are about 354 days in the Hebrew lunar calendar year. That's about 1,062 days. In other years, there's another 30 days, because it's a leap year like this year. So 30 times 1,062 is more than 30,000 prayers. In order for a person to reach a state of self-refinement, that they could take a word and dissect it according to the Torah and come up with the Torah teaching about a sensitive heart. So I just wanted to share that with you, but I think it's very important to share these type of teachings so you become more culturally aware. If you're interested, whether you're a Jewish person, a member of the nations of the world, to understand how we look at the world, just in, you know, when we get together, just to wish each other with good cheer. Again, L'chaim L'shalom is a wonderful thing to say, to life and for peace, and for life and for blessing. So going back into the Shaar Yichud by the Mittler Rebbe, we ended off last week's program, humble presentation, is that Das, which is the idea of connecting to the essence of an idea, whether it be right brain oriented or left brain oriented, and we're doing a healthy type of meditation, we're seeking out the truth of the matter, also known as Panimius Bina, it leads to something called Amachas Das, the depths of one focus into the cognitive awareness that one has generated within the process of generating the combination of letters which are connecting to the intellect one is actualizing and learning of Torah. Could also be of a secular matter, obviously. And we also noted that a person can become a mimic where they can actually effectuate a new flash of intuitive wisdom coming from a place called Koach HaMaskil, super consciousness, in order that their right brain thinking is aware of a new flash, intuitive wisdom, that it grasps it to the point where it can share something of it with the left brain processing, the Maya Chabina, and therefore a new comprehension can be attained in the knowledge of godliness, or Mahavdil, the knowledge of some sort of matter of subject of study that the individual wants to learn about. Then we mentioned last week as well, there's the idea of Kalidas and Omchidas. Kalidas are individuals who do not really connect. They might have a great knowledge at their disposal, but they can waver in terms of the commitment to what the implications of that knowledge is, and they don't stick with the matter, even though they can understand it very well. And then there's Omchidas, people who immerse their back brain thinking. Okay, and an example of this can be brought that a little child can actually parrot a lot of information, very important information about the knowledge of Creator, but they still act childlike because their das is very light. Because they don't have yet, in the development of their cognitive processing, the ability to feel the implications of the knowledge that they're parroting, saying back to their teachers or their family, whoever they're trying to give off an impression that they are aware of such knowledge, even though their awareness is kind of slightly, you know, tilted in the direction of just repeating words that they don't necessarily understand the implication of those words. But on the other hand, an adult who has a deep das, to that matter, understands it and desires to learn more about it, and therefore focuses more on the matter. And therefore a person can elicit from that an orech das, the length of their das, roch of a das, meaning they can develop different ways of expressing one idea. For instance, a professor of physics can take a very simple allegory to explain a very deep concept, say quantum physics. And what they do is, as well, they are able to simplify it. And as well, they will not be deterred from their commitment to share that body of information with students or family, whoever it may be. And one of the signs of a person who has attained this type of depth of das is that they feel there's like a constriction. Sometimes you see it on the person's face when they're thinking. They're like, so, as we say, vertracht, you know, so much thinking into the matter. It's almost like you could see, like, maybe their eyebrows are up or their eyebrows are down. The crinkles on their forehead are being revealed. Or they just seem in another place, and you call out the name, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I was focusing on something else. That's an example of Omek Hadas. And as well, when a person engages in the Iyun of Bina, the analysis process of understanding, this is the opposite of the contraction of Das. It's actually a person is willing to at the beginning, be contracted into the commitment to learn about a subject matter. But what happens is that immediately there can be an experience where there's a dispersion to a breadth or a width of understanding, because now a person is now interacting with actual facts concerning the subject. He or she are learning with a particularized type of differentiation to know that this is what's really about the subject matter we're talking about. One example I can give is one time I was learning with a younger man, and I was giving an example, a mashal, an allegory of how a spark plug, what happens if one spark plug is not, you know, usable, it's burnt out or it's broken inside a Tesla. He said, sir, a Tesla doesn't have spark plugs. So therefore, you see, my notion of what needs a spark plug and what doesn't need a spark plug in terms of vehicles, cars, has totally been changed. And now I know that I'm not going to suggest an electric model, electric car like a Tesla would need spark plugs. So when a person can contract, so to speak, get totally focused, which is called the Mokas Adas, on the knowledge that they have acquired, that what happens is that all of the power, the potential of his intellect gets connected only to that subject matter at that time. And from that point, it becomes the opposite of the analysis process. It's like a ping pong match between the left brain thinking and the back brain thinking, between focus, knowledge, expansion, and then refocusing on internalizing that matter, which is the contraction. Now, the virtue, the great accomplishment of Amakas Adas, it helps a person come to the depth of the concept until a person can tap into the root of the depths of the wisdom understanding that have been invested, revealed within that subject matter. So, there is now an elucidation. And there were certain parts I skipped over, but so because you really have to understand it from within the language, the context of the original language. It was penned in Lashon HaKodesh, or some people call it Hebrew. So what I want to do now is to go to another section of the book, Shaar Yichud, Nemes V'Torah Or, The Gate of Unification, by going into the teachings of one of the Mittler Rebbe's most devoted Hasidim, and learned Hasidim for that matter, of Hillel Meir Parich. And he is going to, for the rest of the show and for many programs going forward, is going now to elucidate about what we've talked about, a good portion of the majority of the first post, the first chapter of the Shaar Yichud, the Gate of Unification. So the parsha goes to say this: to understand what is this body, the body of this concept of his bonenos, again, which can be defined as panemius bina, inner understanding, or iyun, analytical study. So what is in essence? And when we understand what is the essence of this is bonenos process of meditation, cognitively speaking, and iyun, analysis, panemius bina, inner understanding, what are we supposed to meditate upon to bring us to this great love and fear that was talked about at the first presentation? And I hope to bring it up from time to time, if not at every humble presentation, in this light, you know, that meditation is one of the foundations of the Torah. As Rambam writes in chapter 2, law 2, in the Halachos HaSodot Torah, the laws of the foundation of the Torah, that it's not understood why the essence of his bonus, the essence of inner understanding, the essence of an analytical thinking or learning should be the realm of understanding. Because there is a hierarchy in terms of cognitive processing, blessed souls. There is, first of all, wisdom, followed by understanding, then followed by das. But again, that's only one configuration or one partsuf, one face of this triangular intellectual experience, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, one of the proofs that we would go in this direction, that his bonus meditation is the realm of understanding, and not wisdom, is that we see here that in Scripture itself, the essential mitzvah to unify the Almighty's name and to connect everything back to his simple, uncomplicated unity, which is not even numerical, is it contained within the lushan, the language of the Shema Yisrael, the classic prayer that we recite three times a day, once in the morning prayers, once during the night prayers, and once before we go to sleep at night, which is understanding. Because we say Shema Yisrael here, but Shema also implies understand Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. May he be blessed, the name of his kingship forever. But this also can apply to the nations of the world. In fact, those who are interested in learning Torah in the manner leading to the fulfillment, which is the ultimate purpose of the Torah, to take action, to take good action, to make it a better world, that a Ben Noah can in fact recite the Shema to declare Hashem's unity, his oneness, because otherwise a person might fall into the pitfalls of idolatry, which seeks to divide up the simple, uncomplicated unity, which is not a miracle, as I mentioned before, of the Almighty Creator, who was, is, and always will be simultaneously the source of all life in the worlds of intellect, the worlds of thought, the worlds of speech, and the world of action. So the preface, the parsha goes on to say that it's good to see and understand that there are three portions of intellect, Chabad, Chochma, wisdom, which is the perception of the essence of something without being able to enclose the perception, some sort of osios, which is called also the realm of seeing, meaning at the moment that I see something, it doesn't necessarily mean translate to my being able to explain it at the moment, because I might be so attracted to that, say like the building of a beautiful building, that a person feels the essence of the ornamentation in the mind. But the reason for how they would do it, because they're a mixture of all different types of colors, the different colored stones that make up that building, and are mixed together, a great mixture. But a person still doesn't understand that even though he or she can sense the what it is, its essence of its ornamentation. Nevertheless, he doesn't have the letters contained with this feeling, meaning he or she is captured by the feeling of the beautification of that beautiful building. Therefore, he or she is not able to explain the matter of the beauty of that building to someone else. But when a person can comprehend, not just see, but comprehend, meaning generating letters of thought within their left brain cognitive processing, with all the particularities, with all the many colors and the beautification that have been mixed together to make this wonderful structure, his that strong feeling he had from seeing it now in the, that started in to be revealed into his brain of comprehension within letters, which is understanding, and therefore once things come down to the letter level of understanding, to letters of understanding, to the thought process being guided by the left brain thinking, the Moed Habina, then a person can reveal to other person why that building is so beautiful. And it's worth to check out. So with that being said, blessings, we're going to end here. We've covered, again, this is very dense, new material. I'm assuming for 99% of those listening to this humble broadcast. However, that's okay. So what's going on is that we're allowing ourselves to become mindful of a new way of thinking. And this new way of thinking is according to the Torah's perspective of cognitive, meditative experiences, which should hopefully generate more love and fear of the Creator according to the Torah. Now, we're going to end the show with a song that I used to play to segue into our programming many years ago. The song is like, 13, 14 years old, if not older. Because I think Rav Yitzhak Baton, a friend of mine who I pray with every day in the famous Frankel Shul, in Iriarchs, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, and Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Unified Soul Actualization, he wrote this song as a fervent prayer, which manifests as a wonderful song. Here comes the time. It comes a time for no more jealousy, no more hatred, no more competition, which is not needed. Here comes the time. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Hopefully to be continued with the blessing of the Most High. Remember, you should have no reason to be disappointed to know that you are anointed with the divine image to help you get out in scrimmage to make this world a wonderful place for all 8 billion, almost 100 million blessing beings with a divine image. Take care, everyone. Good day.